Hello and welcome to the What's Current podcast, where we discuss everything electrical. On the show today, we have me, Andrew Duffin. I am technical commercial engineer with Napit, and I'm joined by Gary Frost from EVEC. How are you, Gary, this morning?
Yeah, I'm very well, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Good, good, good. I suppose the first question would be, Gary, could you start giving our listeners an overview of your background and EVEC as a company as well, please?
Yeah, sure. Gary Frost, I'm the UK sales manager here at EVEC. EVEC are an EV charge point manufacturer. We're also owned by a much bigger group, the For Everyone Group, and they've been sort of manufacturing appliances for 20 plus years now. So the company, although EVEC is within its infancy 2 or 3 years, the bigger sister company, if you like, behind them has been going for, as I said, well over 20 plus years. So I'll go into that in a sec, but just some sort of background on me, if you like. I've was a trainee electrician when I first left school, worked for a local firm, got sort of through my apprenticeship, went on then and did various different jobs. Wasn't sort of too fond of getting my nails mucky, if you like, and crawling through loft space.
who is a fan of loft spaces, by the way?
That's it, especially when there's wasps and bees up there and everything. So, sort of found my way back into the industry through a friend who ended up sort of, you know, getting me a job at my first employer within the industry. And I was there for 12 years, I think, 2010, I think I started there. And basically they manufacture other products as well. So we were sort of, I was basically taking orders and things like that. But my brain sort of ran away with me a little bit. I got a little bit sort of bored of writing orders out and things like that, needed a bit more of a challenge sort of thing. So went to see the MD with my line manager, and it happened that there was a role available in the EV division.
What sort of year was this then? In what sort of years are we talking?
So that would have been sort of 2011, really.
So quite early on in the market for EV chargers, then, I would have thought.
Massively, yeah. I mean, I won't say the name, but there was only two or three there. You ain't got to be a rocket scientist to sort of work out who it is.
Yeah, of course.
They also manufactured caravan hookups and things like that, so that gives you another clue. But I just sort of was, I needed more sort of, if you like, brain training. I was getting a bit fed up and bored just writing orders out and stuff like that, so would have probably been there just over a year. And then this opening came in the EV division, which, to be honest with you, was not struggling, but didn't really do anything hardly. There wasn't enough known about electric vehicles then. You only had cars like the Renault Twizy and vehicles like that.
Was that a Prius out by then? Was the Prius?
Prius would have been, but I think it was a hybrid version, mate. Yeah, right. Or a regen version, not plug-in at all.
Right.
And yeah, the Twizy, I don't know if you've seen it, it's like a little one-seater, almost like golf buggy-looking thing.
okay.
Funnily, we was at the Everything Electric show last week, and there was one in the car park, and I sort of said to my new boss and a colleague, you know, that was one of the first sort of cars, which really you'd only see a grandma on going down the shops or something like that.
I think I know what you're on about now.
It's a funny old thing, but so we only sold a few hundred maybe in the first year, and then all of a sudden there was this adoption. The cars got sort of better ranges, even then only up to like 100 150 miles. You know, the first Nissan Leaf started to come out in early 2012, 13, whatever it may be. So we started to sell a few more, and then the OZEV grant come along, and that made the company obviously quite a lot of money, just because the grants were there. The grants, weirdly, they weren't, in my opinion, run correctly, because most people could have one if you had off-street parking. Really, they should have had to have an electric vehicle as well, which did get changed, so it was that in time. But yeah, I would imagine the first few million that was spent, I mean, contractors were walking down streets just knocking on doors saying, do you want a car charger? It's free. And rightly so, you know, if they've got that ability to make a few quid, and what they were doing was, as far as they thought, was putting in the infrastructure. Yeah, when really you probably was doing it for 65-year-old, you know, grandparents, if you like.
The wrong market was being attacked, or targeted, sorry, should I say.
Yeah, totally, mate. So, I mean, even so much so that I was at my parents' a few weeks back, and his neighbour was outside chatting. I could see like a little thing flashing in his garage, and it happened to be a charger. And I sort of asked him, and he was like, you know, somebody put it in for free. I'm never going to drive one of them things, he sort of said. So, yeah, old school, like, you know, he's a fuel guy. He's not going to change at all in his lifetime. So, yeah. And then, as I say, the company then grew and grew and grew. The division grew as well. It went from two or three of us, or two and a half of us, because one was part time, into what it is there now. So they've probably got 20 staff in that industry that you know, they're still probably the biggest name on the market, if you like, and most sort of well known, if you like. And yeah, it just, as I said, grew and grew and grew. I ended up becoming a sales manager there. I worked in the technical department there as well. So sort of really sort of learned everything. I sat down and went through the 18th edition, the 17th edition before that, obviously, sat on the 2919 City and Guilds training, you know, sort of really tried to be a sponge and just soak everything up to learn it myself. Just so I can help people really on the sales, and if there's any technical questions that come from it.
Yeah, I'm going to say, from a sales point of view, having that technical background, and obviously you're electrician as well, must be massive for you to support them.
Yeah, huge. I mean, it's the little things that sometimes contractors forget, like, you know, cable run comes into the sort of way of thinking of what size cable do I need. You know, sometimes electricians forget about voltage drop and simple things like that, really. When, yeah, you know, a common question our technical team might get asked is, oh, is a 4 mil cable okay? Well, it is if you're just sticking it on the wall around the corner, but, you know, if you're going to be running it 100 meters, then no, of course it's not. So yeah, and if it's anything bigger than 32 amps, definitely not. So
yeah, I suppose it goes back to that old domestic view from electricians, that a ring final circuit's wired in 2.5, a lighting circuit's wired in 1 mil or 1.5, a cooker used to be wired in 6 mil, but now it's probably a 10 mil. It's just a go-to, everyone's a go-to cable, don't they, for a certain circuit. But there are, like you say, you know, factors that affect cables, you know, run, you know, insulation methods, etc.
Definitely, and even more so now with, like, they have this ultra cable, as a lot of people call it, where it has the Cat5 connection in there as well. So you've got your smart connectivity in there too. So, but yeah, it was definitely a sort of, you know, an eye opener for me, because, you know, as you said, I'd been used to, I mean, you get all the rubbish jobs as an apprentice anyway, so my knuckles were bruised every day from chasing walls out and things like that.
Chopping the boxes in, doing the capping if it was capping in them days, I suppose.
I got all them good jobs. Go to the van and fetch me a hammer. It's only over there, boss, just do it, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah,
they don't know the born these days, apprentices.
what we call a good grounding, to be
totally safe. Totally, yeah, gives you that sort of you know where you've come from type thing. But yeah, with all that, it certainly helps, and you know, I don't do it as much these days. Our sort of customer services staff are really well vetted, they've had a lot of training and stuff like that, but it does help, it's there. And then, yeah, in 20, so I was looking after builders merchants then, at my previous employers at the end. And because all new developments now must have an electric vehicle charging point, it was a sort of a, not an easy win, but it should be something where builders merchants, you would think, would jump on that. Some have, and some still haven't and really pushed it. We obviously work with a lot of electrical wholesalers, and that's good for us because obviously we know that the contractor will go and get the cable and all the screws and all the rest of it from the wholesaler anyway. But that's sort of where I ended up. And then, yeah, I spoke to EVEC summer of 22, and I've been here since then. Bit more responsibility. So I had a counterpart at the previous employer that sort of did the same job, looking after all of the sales, wholesale, contractor wise, and projects and stuff like that across the UK. Run a small team, sales team of sort of two or three people, and it's growing as well. You know, our sort of targets were very sort of small initially, and now we're sort of where we are. The turnover's like tripled in 1 year. It's set to double again this year from what it was last year. Yeah, so basically we've got a good price point, a good product, and it's really flying out the door. So
yeah, because it's I imagine that it's quite a competitive market. There seems to be a new charge point coming out most weeks, or a new brand, doesn't it? It's very competitive, I would say, for you guys working within it.
Indeed, I mean you see it sort of. I mean we saw it back then. You know, you had the likes of. Certainly when I started, there was just sort of a few Chargemaster, Podpoint, etc. And then slowly but surely out of the woodwork crept your My Energies and your Easies and your EOs, and all of those have become big global brands that, you know, have really sort of, you know, done some damage in the industry, you know, really sort of got a lot of charge points out there and helped a lot of people with their charging requirements. So when I was contacted by them, I did think the same. Oh, another one sort of thing. But for me, on a personal level, it was about just, I don't think I was sort of ever sort of really going to climb anymore at the old employer. I might have done, but it was very much a slow burner. I was not far off 40. I'm 42 now.
And same I thought, age. We're same age as well.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah, they say it starts at 40, mate. So
I'm yet to believe that one myself.
That's it. Yeah, I'm not sure just yet, but yeah. But yeah, it was for me, I was thinking, you know, if I don't sort of do it now, I might end up sort of just staying here and just plodding along, which I was more than happy to do. But I do believe that you should always sort of try and strive for greatness and better, if you like. That's what was on sort of offer. So yeah, it was one of them, definitely another charging brand, but it was different with these guys, you know, because I must admit, and I do tell this story, driving into it. So the company are based in Manchester. So it's around the Salford Trafford Park area. I had a little grey Hyundai Kona, and so that went back at Rolex. Basically got the same car, but I had a white one. Remember getting it delivered on the Tuesday before I was starting on the Monday, and I was driving around Boston where I live thinking, this is all right, you know, I've got my car, I'm not even working yet and all the rest of it. And then Monday morning came, and we basically, me and some of the colleagues that have started, because we work remotely a lot of the time, We go into Manchester once or twice a month, and we connect on Teams and whatnot every day, obviously, anyway. But driving into Trafford Park thinking, oh, Gary, what have you done, sort of thing. I was like a piece of the furniture there. And now it's but that's what everybody should need in their lives. Change is good sometimes.
Get out your comfort zone sometimes, isn't it? It's good for you.
Exactly. And although I did sort of, you know, don't want to swear, but, you know, although the excitement almost got the better of me. Once I got in and met the team and met all the guys there, everybody is really, really nice. There hasn't been one single shouting argument, and I'm not saying there was previously, but there's nothing. And which I thought, it's a big city company, I thought it'd all be corporate suits and this and that and the other. The environment is amazing. It's really, really good to work there, and they really do mean business. You know, the CEO is an absolute workaholic. He's texting you at 5 o'clock one morning and then 7 o'clock at night, and he's nice. He's sat on a sun lounger in Spain or something. He works hard and he plays hard, and yeah, it is a really good company, and I think because of that reason and the people that we've got at EVEC, that's why it's done so well so quickly.
Usually when you've got a good company, he's got good people behind it, hasn't it?
Yeah, and not to blow my own trumpet or anything, but it does help when, you know, people like me come into the business where I've seen the growth and know what's required, sort of thing. Same with a couple of my other colleagues who were sort of nabbed, if you like, from other businesses.
Headhunted, they call it, don't they?
Headhunted's the word. That's right, Andrew. Yeah. let's be PC about it. But yeah, it does really, really help. I mean, even the customer services manager, she used to be head of customer services at AO, which is actually around the corner in Manchester. So all of them things have come together really, really well.
Brilliant. Sounds like you've got a wealth of experience from the industry, which is good to know out there, especially for your customers. That's invaluable, I would say. So
yeah.
I suppose, what do you see the biggest challenges with the EV charging infrastructure, you know, in residential and business areas with the grid demand? Can the grid cope, I suppose? What's your thoughts on that, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, residential is definitely things like terraced housing with no off-street parking. At the Everything Electric show last week or the week before, we had a lot of customers come on to us saying, I live in a terraced house, I've not got off-street parking, you know, what's the sort of score there? There are a lot of things being done to help in that sense now. You might have seen this charge arm thing. So it's like a sort of connected pole, if you like, that goes onto your building or the wall at the front of your home, and it sort of pulls out and pulls down, and then a cable comes from it. So it kind of creates like not a walkway, but like a big arm over the pathway, and a cable drops down on the road.
Oh, I see. So it's not blocking the pavement. You can
exactly
walk. Yeah, I've seen the ramps that they've come out with as well to put over the cables, haven't they, on the pavement?
That's it, yeah.
I saw those, but I haven't saw this arm, no.
No, well, there's another couple called Curbo and Gully, and we've been speaking to a couple of them. Basically, they provide like a sort of like a gully, basically, which is like obviously like a small sort of indentation in the pathway. It all relies on council permission and things like that, of course.
Okay.
But basically you bury the cable into, like, there's two like rubber flaps almost, and the cable gets pushed down into that, so you still walk over a nice even surface, and there's no trip hazard.
So it's not a ramp then? Yeah, I get it.
No,
it's flat.
Basically buries the cable until you then want to take it out and then wind it back up and stick it back in the car or in the house. So yeah, things like that need to become affordable and need passing by councils. This is where sometimes you see councils go, no, you can't have permission for that, or you're not getting permission to lower the curb on your front of house.
Yeah.
Things like that need almost, unless there's a very specific issue because there's drainage under there or there's, you know, whatever it is.
So there's some kind of infrastructure that they can't obviously damage, I get.
Yeah, exactly. That needs to be something where the council almost turn it around in a week and say, yes, that's absolutely fine to proceed. More people will adopt it then, I think. I think in terms of, I mean, it's a shame that the grant ended when it did, Andrew, the OZ grant at home, because there's all these infrastructure grants and things like that now, but I just don't know how much of it is being used. And the other thing to that is that most people, if they get an EV, a new one, it's going to be like mine. You know, I've got a company car, you know, one of the more higher spec ones. Probably wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the business. Businesses can generally afford to pay for them if you're doing well as a salesman, certainly. Whereas if it's coming out of your wage, you'll maybe think, I don't know, type thing. So you maybe won't adopt that more. But if it's something that your company are very adamant, right, we want to go electric, then great. But then give them an incentive to put a charger at home.
Yes.
You can still have it at businesses, obviously. You've still got the workplace grant and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them.
It's not as much to claim back though, is it? Money wise, is it? It's not as much.
No. You get. I mean, at work, you still can get up to 40 sockets at £350 per socket. So that one's very sort of fruitful and worth looking at. But domestically, it would have just been, again, this goes back to the money they sort of wasted on these early adopters who never bought a car.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been going in now. And even if you said it's £300 towards it, it's £200 towards it, I think more people would go for it then. So so I would look at grants and stuff like that. But I would also just urge businesses to just sort of crack on with it, really. And that's not from a sales perspective. I've been driving an EV for about 7 or 8 years now, and I really honestly wouldn't want to go back. And that's not me just saying it because I'm on this call with you and I work for a company that makes the things that charge them. It is a genuine, you know, people say to me all the time, well, we're still burning fossil fuels to make electricity.
Yeah.
And that's true. And that is the majority of the electricity that's created in this country. But what you're doing by driving EVs, certainly around the towns and cities, is you're keeping the emissions out of it. So you're making cleaner air, which should in turn provide for better, human longevity and life and things like that. You've only got to look at what happened during those first, say 4 to 6 weeks of COVID. You know, it was really sunny all the time.
Yeah. You know, less people on the roads and stuff like that at the time,
exactly,
wasn't it? Yeah,
exactly. I was reading stories about dolphins swimming down the rivers in Venice and things like that, something they hadn't done for thousands of years or whatever. So, for me, it would be more about the sort of the grants and the infrastructure changing in terms of, you know, looking at putting them in. But also I'd urge, as I say, businesses, because eventually those grants will run out as well. I think it's March next year. So,
Yeah, there's not an unlimited pot, is there, unfortunately, for this. And rightly so from the government. We hear about budgets all the time in the government and how, you know, deficits and so on. So we can't keep on taking out the pot, really, on that one. So I suppose, as we talked about earlier on, there's that many different charges out there. I suppose what makes your charger different from the rest? You know, what's the unique selling point of it and so on for our listeners?
It's quite a funny one, actually, because just speaking about the government, they kind of almost made it impossible not for charges to be quite similar because of the rules and regs changes. So they've now all got to be smart, whereas some were smart, some weren't. They've got to have load management capability. So some offer pen fault protection as well. So a lot of what you see is the same. Ours does feature single and three-phase pen fault protection. So not all of them provide three-phase, which is good. That when you're doing it single phase, you might get away with £100 board or something like that. Three-phase, obviously, as you know, is more expensive. You might end up spending £1,000 on a pen fault board or something like that. So So there's that. There's the fact that obviously we are very competitive in the price. And that's probably the main reason, one of the main reasons why we've sort of come into the market and done so well. We believe that everybody should be able to buy an EV charger and not not pay the earth for it. And some of them that you see on there, they might have like a wooden fascia, or they might have flashing fancy lights and stuff. Or how much is that? £1,000. And it's like, just for the charger sort of thing. And if you've got that sort of money and you're happy to spend it, then that's absolutely fine. We work on a profitable business that offers affordable charging. And then that's then up to the customers to sort of decide on what they want to do. I mean, you've only got to look at some of our bigger contracts. The biggest one we've got with Arnold Clark through an installer called Bumblebee EV. I think 80-90% of their chosen products are EVEC products. Just based on the fact that, you know, if it's through Arnold Clark, you've already bought or leased a vehicle, you probably then don't want to be going and spending £2,000-£3,000 on a charger. So you get the most affordable one you can, and it also means that they can install it quickly and just sort of crack on, and you can have the charger in place. So, yeah. But the other thing I would just mention as well is our warranty.
Okay.
So I mentioned to you about the For Everyone group, which is the business behind EVEC. We have four or five other businesses. One of them is a business called CoolMed. They make medical refrigeration for the NHS, Lloyd's Pharmacy, Boots, etc.
Okay.
Yeah, one USP with those guys is a 3-year on-site warranty. Now, that differs slightly from a charger, because with a fridge, if you can't fix it, you can just unplug it and plug a new one in.
Yes.
But it also differs differently in a sense of sometimes probably life and death. In a medical fridge, you might have bloods, fluids, vaccines that are really important to that medical facility.
Of course.
If they spoil, obviously that's no good for anybody. So we have to get there and do it very sharpish within 48 hours. And so we've adopted the same thing for the chargers.
Okay.
Yeah, so if there's a problem, the contractor and the wholesaler, etc., they don't even really have to be involved if they don't want to be. You give us a call. If you're the end customer, say it was your charger, Andrew, you give us a call. We try and dial into it remotely and see if there's something there, maybe a bug or even a hard reset sometimes, which is the fancy way of saying turn it on and off.
Yeah, I've got a charge point myself. And sometimes turn it on and off clears the fault. It's exactly. As simple as that, isn't it, sometimes?
It is. It's the old computer one. Turn it on and off and it'll be fine. But yeah, if we can't resolve it like that, we then gear our engineering team up, and they're usually out on site within 48 hours. Again, if they can't repair it, they just replace it. So they'll have the bits and bobs on the vans just to basically change it all over and crack on, really.
That's really good for the customers to know that you know, 48 hours without power, worst case scenario, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's something that, you know, a lot of other manufacturers don't do. They try to work with the customer, maybe send parts, maybe sort of say, you know, okay, we'll give your electrician a small, you know, on-site warranty fee for going back and things like this. But if it doesn't resolve it, then you've got a grumpy customer, a very grumpy electrical contractor, because he feels he's wasted his time, and nobody's any better off, sort of thing. And sometimes if they bought through a wholesaler, the manufacturers want them to go back through them because that's where it was bought from, which I understand. But again, it just causes issues, time delays, etc.
You're going to say it makes it a bit more complicated process, doesn't it, for the end user? The end user just wants their charger working. That's all they're interested in.
And you know yourself, if you've got one and drive an EV, that sometimes it can be very frustrating if that does ever happen. Luckily, we've got a really low failure rate. It's less than 0.5%. So again, the products are really well made. So yeah, but the team that's in Manchester, they're on the phone available. And it's a testament to the factory that we sort of work with as well over in the, you know, where we basically work with them, and they have the ability to churn these products out mass produced, but also to a high standard. And it's something that we've been doing for, as I said, 20 plus years. If you were to come to EVEC in Salford, you'll see rows and rows of dishwashers, cookers, fridges, and then a couple of rows full of EV chargers. So you might think you've stumbled onto Aladdin's cave or something, but it's just through that manufacturing nous and facility that we've got, that basically, you know, we can get them out to a high standard and hopefully hardly have any issues, which is definitely what we're seeing at the minute. So it's all good.
Great stuff. I suppose the next one then, what regulation challenges does the EV charging industry face, and how does your company EVEC comply regulation-wise with products, etc.?
Yeah, I don't think there's any major changes due, if I'm honest. There's one that's very sort of important on DC charging, which is the fact that if it's over 22 kilowatts, it has to provide a payment terminal.
Okay.
And that's fine, yeah, because obviously you'll know again yourself when you're trying to charge in a sort of public area, sometimes all of these apps can be a little bit annoying. You've got to
Yeah, I've got
keep.
to say for these rapid charges we're talking about here, like 22 minutes or whatever it is, the charge time, isn't it? Yeah, and I think that's probably the people's worst nightmare, isn't it? That you go to a charging station and the computer says no, basically, and you're out of battery. I think that's in the back of everyone's mind with EV cars, isn't it?
This is it. And sometimes if you've got a bad phone signal, you can be half the time you were due to spend charging, trying to download an app and get it to work and stuff
Yeah,
like that. So,
I've had that issue myself because the app controls whether the charger comes on and off, basically, and it wouldn't turn the charger on, so you have to download this, get rid of the app, reinstate the app, and then on the phone to an AI person because there's lots of headaches sometimes if the apps isn't there.
So that's one of them, making a payment terminal available so we can just use a contactless card just to tap on and off. We've done that with our DC version through Payter. So you'll start seeing them pop up now. We've just brought that to the market.
Okay.
So that's quite a nice feature. I think there might be some grant changes, obviously, as I mentioned as well.
Okay.
It's definitely something that is it sort of probably needs re-looking at. But again, as we mentioned earlier, I don't actually know if that will be the case, just because the funding isn't at the end of a rainbow, if you like. It's not never ending sort of thing.
It's a shame. It's a
And
shame.
So I think it will be just the sort of more public facing offerings and what is comes around all of that. But Iveco is sort of, as I say, more than geared up for it. We got the technical team in Manchester as well, doing all the R&D with the guys in the factory as well. And anything that does come, if OCPP, I know there's different variants of it, so if that were to
Yeah,
change, it is something that we can just very, very quickly.
that's the open charge point protocol, isn't it? And is that
That's
the
right.
that how to communicate? The charge has to communicate. The communication
Yeah.
software has to be in place, doesn't it?
It basically the open charge point bit is basically so that any back office, if you like, or any other company providing that solution can talk to your charger and vice versa. Now,
Right.
some manufacturers only want to work with their provided back office. Whereas if it's truly OCPP, then you can then, so we'll take our unit for example. If you had, let's say we promote somebody like Monta or Connect or somebody like that,
Yeah.
Tap or somebody like that, there's a few of them out there.
Yeah.
And then we had a customer that wanted their back office to be the Fuse back office. Because of OCPP integration, once that integration's done and completed, it's very easy then to just flip it and point it towards that back office. Because you might have a company that has three or four different sites, and then they want them all to be on the same back office. They don't want to have
Well,
to,
it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes
of
sense to
course.
really, to keep it all universal.
Instead of logging on to three different websites or whatever just to look at all the chargers, they
Correct.
all point to this one central hub. So OCPP's been around for a few years now. I think the standard version used most commonly is like 1.6 at the moment, but I know that probably will change very, very soon. But ours are all sort of geared up, ready to go. I think some of the companies that are out there have actually gone to the furthest version of it, but a lot of back offices don't support it yet. So therefore, although they've gone down that route and already made it ready to go, it doesn't communicate too well with the older versions, if you like. So yeah, that will change, but at the moment it does, touch wood, work quite well. And
That's good
if
to
you
know.
have, yeah, if you have had that experience of using a charger out in the wild, 9 times out of 10 it should be quite smooth. I would imagine it comes down to phone signal in some areas, which is,
Yeah, well, it's that 5G. We need that 5G everywhere as well, doesn't it?
that's
That's going to
it.
really help as well,
Yeah,
5G
and it comes
coverage.
down to the chargers as well, Andrew, because they've got SIM cards inside if they're away from a building and they're not hardwired or whatever. So
yeah,
yeah, that will certainly help with them connecting faster and working better too. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose if you could tell us then, looking ahead, what does the future hold for EVEC? Any new products you can tell us about, or is it under wraps?
Yeah, no, we've got a lot of a lot sort of going on, really. We are so we've last year we completed the wrap up on our duo charger, power pair as it was called. It's
okay.
a two-in-one version, so it's got a socket on and a tethered lead, so you sort of get the best of both worlds. Seen one or two other companies offering a twin unit, but they're either dual socket or dual tethered leads. If we were to do that, we would have had to have redeveloped the box, which means extra cost.
Right.
We've put it all into the same box as the VEC Go, as we call it now, the VECO1 standard 7 kilowatt socket charger, meaning that the costs are kept down and you can pick it up for about £570. So where retail, okay, you'd probably pick our socket version up at 320. If we double that, that's 640 to buy two chargers, or you can buy one with a lead and a socket on for 570. So you're saving money because it's obviously should be that extra cost for two units, but also you get a tethered lead one. And quite funnily, the charger itself, being the idea it was, my colleague's got one, and him and his partner obviously race home. They don't race home, but it's like whoever gets there first takes the tethered lead and plugs in. It's almost a bit lazy, really. But yeah, I'm there first. I'm having the tethered lead. You'll have to get your lead out the boot, sort of thing. So
yeah.
So that was brought to the market last year.
Yeah, I've got to say that's probably needs to happen, doesn't it? Because if you think about how many cars the average family has on the drive.
That's it.
This is another problem, isn't it? If they're all electric.
Going to start to get two-car households, mate, yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, people will change to it. My partner's just bought a used Nissan Leaf, and she just drives it around town, so it works a treat for her.
Yeah.
And then this year we've brought out the DC versions, so we've got some updated versions of those coming out. So I won't go into it too much, but, yeah, you'll see some more DC versions from us. And you will also see some new products from us next year. We are looking at growing as a business and becoming more renewable facing.
Okay.
So I can't tell you any more than that, unfortunately. But yeah, if you look at EVEC as a business for the last 2.5-3 years, it has just been selling electric vehicle charging points. We want to grow it into a big renewables manufacturing business.
I can sort of guess where you're going. Yeah,
Sounds good. I'm sure you can. So, yeah, we want to provide that. And we want to provide a full solution. So where the house is trying to be sustainable, you can get everything from EVEC. And it will be very affordable. So that's sort of
Sounds very interesting. And I suppose as we start to wrap it up now, Gary, how do our listeners get in contact with you or EVEC if they want about your products, etc.? What's the best place to get you hold of?
Yeah, so you can contact me, obviously. You can get hold of me. You've got a colleague called Jake Hudson. Jake's also 7 or 8 years in the industry now. The office, Ashley and John in the customer services team. You can give those guys a call as well. We're all on LinkedIn, obviously, and other things like that. But yeah, give us a call in the office. You guys have got my details as well. So yeah, we basically don't sort of, we're not sort of we're not a business that would say Joe Bloggs Electrical, just a one-man band. You know, we don't sort of want to work with him. We have a sort of approved installer scheme, just to mention quickly. So if any of the NAPIC guys do want to look at working with EVEC, if they get in touch with us, me or Jake probably would be better in this instance. We can get them approved onto our products. There's a small sort of training webinar video that you can watch, because most contractors know how to put three connections into a terminal, obviously. As standard, if you like. So there's a small video they can watch. We get them approved through a registration form, and then if there's a development in a certain catchment area and we need to work with a contractor, chances are we can give those guys a call and say, now then, Bob, you know, we've got a job in Basingstoke or whatever, are you up for it? And then hopefully they'll just buy the charger from the electrical wholesaler, fit the kit for us, we get the sale, they get some work from it, the customer's happy, we've trained that contractor, and we work with contractors like that. So no matter how sort of big or small, yes, if any electrical contractors do want to be a part of that, yeah, please do sort of get in touch.
Sounds like a good offer, yeah. So any of our listeners, reach out to Gary and his team and take it from there. And I suppose that brings a wrap to this episode. Thanks, Gary, for coming on. Really enjoyed it today. It's been really thoughtful and enjoyable.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, appreciate you having me, mate. It's been good.
No problem. Really glad that you could spare some time out of your busy schedule to come on the show today. We appreciate that. And we hope you enjoyed today's show, everyone. Please subscribe. It really does help grow the show. Leave a review. And all I can say is until next time, stay grounded and keep the current flowing. Cheers. Bye.